Welcome to the Mumbrella Podcast. I'm Tim Burrows. In today's conversation from the studios of CBS Interactive, PR lessons if you're an airline and you accidentally upgrade your entire database. 10 gets ready for life after Rove. Are Australia's newspapers about to follow the rest of the world into circulation freefall? What's so good about Famous Magazine? The Apprentice, hit or miss? Are we actually an industry that does the right thing? And what do you think of the new Jacobs Creek ad? With us on the podcast today, as ever, Camille Alacon, Deputy Editor. Camille.
Hello.
And Scott Rohde of, and I always have to pause as I try and remember the name of your PR agency, House Party PR.
That's correct, yes. Well, just House Party.
House Party, yes. Okie dokie, then that's what I shall forthwith refer to it as. And also as our guest this week from the Tick 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 Project, Cathy McGinn.
Hello.
Tick 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 Project Scheme.
It's
campaign?
It's a campaign to count down to the Copenhagen Summit on Climate Change.
Okay, and the reason that we're kind of chatting about this in this podcast is there seems to be a lot going on at the moment involving social media as the sort of element that activates the industry and becoming involved.
I guess that's because it's such a powerful way of reaching out and telling stories and talking to people and getting people at the grassroots level to be active in adding their voices to campaigns.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about Tick Tick Tick, what it's actually trying to do.
Well, Tick 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 Australia, the goal is to try and get 1 million Australians to sign the petition to demand action on climate change by the 7th of December.
So not very long.
Not long at all, 20 days as of today.
And where does the media and marketing industry come into this?
Well, we're all obviously very good at sort of reaching out and engaging with people, so what better to get media and marketing people to put their expertise in the service of a cause that affects us all.
And in what ways?
So we want people to reach out, talk to their databases, create some content, spread the word via Twitter and social networks. Anything that you can do, use your skills for good.
I'm always talking to my database. amongst the big supporters, News Limited.
Yep, that's right. So they're backing the site. Some of their more prominent bloggers are going to be featuring the story, so it's all pretty exciting stuff. We're going to have a ticker on their website showing how many Australians have signed up to date and see how far we still have to go.
And how many do we have to date?
Well, globally it's just over 3 million, so we've got a while to go.
And very few days to do it in.
But we love a challenge.
Now, the sort of Australian effort, or at least the bit involving agencies in the media, is kind of being driven by Darren Woolley, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Where has that come about?
Well, I think Darren's just very committed to the cause. He's really passionate about it, and I think he thought that he had a good opportunity to really make a difference and inspire his peers to do the same.
And there's lots of these causes going on at the moment. Another one that leaps to mind, of which you're in the video, and as it happens, so am I, is the Charter for Compassion. Maybe explain that one as well.
So that's just that's a really exciting initiative as well, to just have people connect, to commit to sort of creating a more compassionate world. I guess we're all trying to live in a better civilization and society, so why not reach out and commit to doing that?
But the common thread of this seems to be that a PR agency is the one that's kind of behind this, Ogilvy in this case.
Yeah, but I think what's important about it is that because they use sort of social web tools, they're able to put this campaign together in no time at all and make it really responsive and engaging really quickly.
Just a question of turning up in people's offices with a video camera and knocking off a few seconds worth. Scott, which other kind of social media pieces of involvement have you spotted?
There's obviously the
Man Week.
That's what I was thinking. Man Week, and I couldn't remember the name. But obviously, Gavin Heaton, Mark Pollard involved with that.
And this was the one about sort of young men and
young suicide. Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of good. There was a lot of fantastic, actually, and well written articles by a lot of guys about their past experiences. You know, there was one about one guy being adopted. There's another one, you know, about how he's be dealt with his father, that kind of stuff. And the book itself, you know, you can download it in PDF, but if you can, you know, buy a copy for someone and give it as a good gift. It's a fantastic cause, and it's the people behind it and the stories are wonderful.
Well, what I thought was fascinating when Manwake itself was on was the way that the bloggers kind of all came and joined in. And
yeah.
I almost wonder whether it was because one or two people that they all respected were behind it. That was what made everyone kind
of jump.
I think
so. I mean, the people behind it, a lot of people have got a lot of respect for. I mean, Mark Pollard's been in this kind of scene, you know, his website for years and his magazine that he wrote. And Gavin Heaton, obviously, is incredibly well respected. Those two are at the forefront of it, and, you know, everybody wants to get involved to help them out. I have to admit that my submission, I had too much work on at the time. I didn't have time to write it, which I felt bad about at the time. But so sorry, Mark. I apologise.
But you've at least mentioned it now. Yes. Okay, well, it kind of makes a pleasant change, I suppose, for the industry, which is kind of often seen to be full of, you know, short-termists and douches, that sometimes actual good things happen.
Well, it's nice, actually, for take some seconds to talk about something pleasant and nice rather than, you know, the usual people being nasty and bitchy about one another all the time.
It's a social media loving.
Yeah.
So it's the end of Rove as we know it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much for watching at home for this. Because not only is it our last show for the year, but it is our last show forever. Yeah, I've decided myself, after 10 years of doing the show, that tonight will be my last one. And that, yes, I know, I'm sorry. And, yeah, look, it's one of those things I haven't, this is purely my decision. It's not one I have made lightly or flippantly or easily, I must say. And, but I just think the timing is right. I need to stop, take a step back, and see what happens next.
Scott Rove, did he jump? Was he pushed?
I think he's walked. I think he's thought 10 years in any job is enough. Might as well go. I know the ratings, you know, have been dropping and stuff, but it gets to a point in your life where you go, I want something different. Everybody's been there and everybody's done it. I think he's doing the right thing.
Camille, time for him to go.
It was definitely, I think, time, and I think he felt it. It was interesting he said, you know, I want to go out. We want to go out on a high. And interestingly, the last night was over 700,000. Previous week was under 700,000. So, I mean, it's fair to say that, yes, ratings have dropped.
But well below their highs of well over a million.
Absolutely. I mean, but to be fair, in terms of the average audience this year, it's been around the 900 mark, over 900,000, and that's comparable to 2007 and 8, and actually higher than 2005 and 6.
And Tim would argue that it's a younger audience, a hard
to reach
audience.
Yeah, obviously there's all the variables. No, there's digital TV channels now, there's pay TV growing. I mean, you know, you could bring that in, obviously, and depending on what show was on that same night, and they've changed from Tuesday to Sunday, so that all comes in as well. Personally, you know, I'm not a fan.
Any I've fans really here in the room?
Oh, there's silence.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I really kind of used to feel for him slightly when I'd see him do the interviews, and they'd be painfully obsequious.
Yeah.
But that would what would be get the next star when they send the tape, say you should be on the show the next week. You know that he's not going to give you too hard a time.
Yeah, he got the big stars for the kids who like watching him.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, yeah, he got the big stars because he didn't give them any grief. You know, maybe that's entertainment, which is what people watched it for, but it's not, you know, it's not true interview in my eyes.
Well, still with telly, we're staggering towards the end of The Apprentice now. Now, I was really excited about this before it came along. You know, I've been a big fan of the US version and the UK version, so I couldn't wait. Wasn't sure whether Mark Boros would be quite right for it as the master, presumably. If there's an apprentice, there's a master, but the big boss. Feelings so far? Who watched this week's episode? Kathy, you saw it.
I think I might be alone.
I actually tuned in. It was a double episode. Final next week. Double episode this week. Two tasks. 2 hours. Fell asleep 5 minutes in.
Yeah. I must
on the sofa.
Do they do double episodes just so it's shorter, so to get out of the way already? So it's like a good show that can actually rate well.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be my feeling, is that because it wasn't rating, just get it out the way. Yeah. And you know, I guess for nine, it's a step forward, though, because normally they just yank it off halfway through and you never find out who won. So there is a small triumph there. But what were your feelings about last night?
I don't ordinarily watch it, but I thought that every single character in it, or person rather, was loathsome. And I had no sympathy for any of them. I wanted them all fired immediately.
What were the challenges?
They had to flog some stuff on a shopping telly channel. That was
that
a disaster.
Sounds potentially entertaining, though, but surely disastrousness.
Yeah, it was. I think the problem for me is that I found them all so dislikable that I just wanted it to be over as quickly as possible. And Mark Wurst as well is a very, he just seems a very cold and unengaging kind of man.
Cold? He's so tanned.
Orange and yet still.
Yeah, I suppose that's the issue, isn't it? Because it's a program where you want to certainly learn to love to hate some of the characters, because you know that kind of absolute is part of the battle.
See, I think one of the problems is that you actually want to like somebody. I think that's the way they go down the wrong. Similar to Big Brother, you know, they seem to seeked out contestants that were just wouldn't like, or that were supposed to be, you know, so crazy and wacky that people would be like, oh, you know, these people are great. But when it boils down to it, you just end up hating every single person on these reality TV shows, and you don't gel with anyone. The moment you don't gel with anyone, you don't want to watch.
Well, it's the final next week, so
I
go on.
I was going to say, when you hate everyone equally, then it's very hard to sort of, you know, feel motivated or to want someone to succeed.
Well, the final next week, let's lock in the guesses and we'll see who's the idiot next week. Camilla, prediction for the ratings for the final?
For the final, so this week was...
This week's was about 700,000. It was the two episodes. The first one, the earlier one, was 793,000. The later one was 711,000.
I reckon they can get up to about 850, late 800s.
Scott?
I'm going to gamble 650.
650, going down. Kathy?
Oh, well, whatever it is, minus my viewing figure.
I'm going to lock in. I think they're going to go north of a million. I think they're going to push it hard and they'll get just back over.
Ambitious.
Crazy talk. That's my prediction.
Now, is that the peak viewing or the
overall? Average. Well, I reject your peak viewing. That's okay. Just a device to try and make a show seem more popular than it actually is, in my opinion.
This is a bit true, though. Yes.
Next topic, Virgin Blue Velocity. Who had a nice little email from Virgin over the weekend?
Not me, I'm afraid.
No, well, I'm glad I didn't, because I'd be really pissed off right now.
Yeah, so only me. I had a marvellous email on the Friday. I'm taking it you didn't get these.
I haven't checked.
Well, I had a lovely little email Friday afternoon saying,
pass you by now.
You know, you might not realise it, but because you know that you're not on gold yet. But we've decided to upgrade you anyway. You're now a gold member. And then a few hours later saying, oh, and of course it was full of, and this is the benefits. You can come in the lounge, you can check in fast, you can check in late, all these wonderful benefits, you know, life-changing stuff. And then a few hours later, sorry, we accidentally sent you that message. In fact, you're still a scummy old whatever it is.
What time did the second email come in?
Second email came in, and it seems to vary, because they did send this email to their entire Velocity database, and the anecdotes seemed to vary between about 3 hours later to about 10 hours later.
Right. So mostly it was around 3-4 in the afternoon on Friday.
Yeah, and then the correction much later.
Yeah, which is the worst absolute time for any PR agency to deal with, because most people are in the pub.
Particularly on a Friday the 13th.
Yeah, well, the good news is the journalists are also in the pub, obviously.
Yeah, it was interesting, because I wrote about this story over the weekend. It was kind of interesting seeing their PR response, because firstly, if you try to get Virgin Blue out of hours and you've not had many dealings with them before, tracking down a duty press officer out of hours is hard work.
Yep.
Helpfully,
it shouldn't be.
Well, if you look hard enough on the website, you can eventually find the list of press officers. However, there's nothing as helpful as an email address or a phone number, not even an office phone number.
So how did you get in touch with someone?
So in the end, I rang the switchboard, you know, just the, I'm a Virgin punter, please can I talk to your duty press officer? So there was a sort of, obviously, the whole process of going through that. Then eventually they did, after much confusion, give me a number. Well, they gave me two numbers, actually, for two duty press officers, one of whom the number was wrong. The other one was, I eventually got a call back from it saying, oh, I'm a friend of theirs, they're on a flight somewhere at the moment, I'll get someone to give you a call back, please send us an email, by which time I wrote the story, posted it, and sometime over the next 12 or 24 hours, a statement then dropped into my inbox saying, yeah, we can confirm that we did it and we're sorry. So you got the sense they weren't that home to it. There was a story in the Sunday Telegraph with Virgin Blue could not be contacted. So the widest circulating newspaper in the country could not reach them, yeah. Which suggests a breakdown.
I think the situation here is that's definitely an issue. It's an online issue and it's digital crisis communications. You know, you should have an agency monitoring these kind of things for you. Not necessarily 24 hours a day, but you know, doing two checks twice a day for this kind of story, and you should be able to react to it as quickly as possible.
Well, Twitter went a little bit bonkers.
Exactly. I mean, and if you're on Twitter, then you should know what's happening. And the fact that nobody responded, that's the real problem. The PR agency never responded, and their internal team never responded, and that's just quite abysmal.
Well, for me, if I was perhaps a rival local carrier, I would try to take advantage of the situation and maybe promo a one-off reward or incentive for my own loyalty customers and indirectly point to, you know, we don't back down on our awards without having to mention the Virgin Blue stuff up. And
I was amused that somebody from Tiger did post on our comments.
I did see that,
actually. Yes.
Well, lower prices at Tiger. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's how I would have approached it, potentially.
I don't think Qantas would have the ability to do that with their network being down.
No one actually has any money right now. That's another one, yeah. The globally... computer systems down too.
Who'd be in an airline? It was also a big week for circulation this week. There was data out on the newspapers and on some of the magazines. Let's start with newspapers. Finally, Camille, after a long time of holding good, it looked like the Australian newspapers, are they starting to follow the route of the rest of the world in these kind of big declines in circulation?
It's interesting that it was the Nationals that did poorly, because when you look at the main Sydney, Melbourne papers, they were quite steady, minor falls if that.
So National, we've got the Australian... So in the 3 months of September of this year, 134,000, which is down about 4% on the same time the year before.
Weekend just a little bit, 1.6% down.
Yes.
But the Fin Review was down almost 10%, which was interesting.
So yeah, which up to now, considering, you know, there's been a downturn and obviously it's much read by, you know, all the sort of people who are probably being made redundant from sort of financial jobs, had stayed fairly steady. So, yes, a loss of nearly 10% is really quite scary.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what their online subscription is, because I think that could flip it round, because it'll maybe...
Yes, with the and in fact the AFR has relaunched their paywall site this week actually to offer new functionality. So they're one of the longest established.
Which is a good thing, because the original site when I had access to it was quite clunky, so I'm glad that they've relaunched it, because it was just a bit of a try to find any the search function was just atrocious at times.
Well, that was always the reputation, wasn't it? It wasn't worth paying for because the search wasn't very friendly. You know, I speak as someone who didn't much use it myself, but you just touched on the Sydney results, Camille.
Yeah, that's right. The Sydney Morning Herald. They're quite steady. It was less than 1% falls really. Monday to Friday 0.6, Saturday 0.3. And then, I mean, generally speaking, the overall category newspapers was down 1.8%, which is not that high compared to other markets around the world, really. So I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, Sunday, the Sun Herald, which is the Fairfax Sunday effort in New South Wales, down 6.5%. So that wasn't brilliant. And then over in Victoria, very steady there actually.
Yeah.
Not much movement at all.
Yeah, Herald Sun, up 0.1. Monday to Friday, and up 0.3 Saturday.
And the only other thing that leapt out for me was the West Australian, which obviously has been under new management for not quite a year yet, and had been sort of moving forward. So this was since, you know, Kerry Stokes effectively took, if not ownership, took control. It almost feels as if that growth has sort of stuttered to a halt now. So they were on 195,000 for the Monday to Friday, which was only a fraction ahead of the 194,000 before. So, you know, maybe that reflects that they've gone as far as they can in turning that round for now, and it's going to be about standing still for a while.
Well, it always takes a bit of time when there are changes in management and ownership sometimes to come into play in terms of changes and effects on circulation readership. Really.
Magazines also had some numbers out of magazines. What leapt out at you?
Well, I think
from...
what leapt out to everyone is Famous, really.
Huge jump.
They have been growing throughout the year. It was 20% last time, at previous quarter, now 35%.
So this is a PacMags title.
Mm.
And what do you think has driven it?
Well, everyone's saying cover price. It's $3.50 now, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you... I love my trash, so I'd go for the cheap trash. And
so what was in this week's edition?
Oh, okay.
Testing you.
Well, it's all about Twilight, isn't it?
Oh, you've got your copy with you.
Well, it's... what's her name? What do they call her? Lilo? What's...
Lilo, is she the one
Lindsay
from Twilight?
Lowe, yes. Nodding our production team, who's probably more...
Producer George is on top
age
of
range.
This.
Lilo, yes. Secret Romance with Heath. I don't really believe that, but it's all about Twilight, isn't it? There's like a double page spread about Twilight.
I gather the famous were into Twilight very early as well, so that may have been one of the things that's
And they've
kind
been,
of,
from what I'm gathering, in terms of industry observers, they've been really good at targeting their younger audience in terms of celebrity trash and goss. Mm. So good targeting.
Yeah, at the same time, Grazia didn't do terribly well in their rating, in their figures.
Yeah, they were down just under 5% by the looks of the figures.
So this is a year after launching.
Because I wasn't here when they launched. They didn't really crack the weekly formula until recently. Is that from gathering that's what happened?
Yeah, they went about 70,000 or so, I think, was pretty much what they launched at.
Did they have a cheaper price on the cover at that time?
It fluctuated around a lot. So I think that very initially it was about $1, but that was like a sort of taste of thing. Sometimes it was about... They were cut to $2.50. This week they sneaked it up to $6.
Oh.
So...
That's a bold move. I don't know. I don't know if I would buy that. Well, I wouldn't buy it. I'd $6.
Yeah.
Would you buy Famous at $3.50?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Kathy, you're kind of target market. What do you think of Grazia?
I'm not a fan, I must be honest.
Why not?
In what way am I target market?
Well, you're the right age and sex.
it's pretty loose.
And clearly a very fashionable person.
I don't find Grazia that enjoyable a read.
I have to admit that I don't find any of them interesting. Mm. Sorry.
But yeah, certainly,
which is a good thing.
Titillation factor, which Grazia lacks.
Yeah, certainly looking at the kind of the main price range, I mean, it sort of now ranges from, Famous at $3.50. You got New Idea, Woman's Day, about $4. Okay, at $4.50. Then Grazia used to be around the same sort of price as New Weekly and Who, at just under $5. Now at $6, that's a hefty price. Chunk, yeah.
Well, I can't really say anything. I import magazines from the UK, it cost me $20, so yeah. if something's worth reading, it's worth paying for.
Yeah, for the right loyal and committed audience, I guess they're there.
Can I interject a sec?
Please interject.
Thank you.
Interject vigorously.
Just to talking about magazines, actually, and I'm about to mention another news site here, so I hope you don't mind, but
feel free.
There's an article on The Punch
One
this week
family.
Written by on The Punch, actually, which I'm not a fan of the site that much. I think some of the stories are great, some of them are complete trite.
I get their email every day, every morning, and I would say at least every other day I'll click through to something from that email.
Well, there was an article, you probably read it, from the former online editor of Zoo magazine.
No, I missed it, but I will go back and look for it.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. It's really well written, and he's basically saying, that the magazines are designed solely to have men think, I can have sex with that girl at some point in my entire life. And, it's just something, the two differences between how men think, which is, hopefully I'll have sex with that girl one day, or on the flip side, she's my friend. So that's basically how men think, according to this guy. Just letting, I'm getting stared at really badly in the room. But he basically says, that these lads mags are just so designed to get young guys to go and buy them for that way. And I suppose on the flip side, obviously similar to a lot of the ladies magazines where they tell you how to live this perfect life and they tell you how to do this and that, and when it boils down to it, you should just live your life the way you want to rather than by how these magazines tell you to. That's
my
compassion for the week there.
Social good. Well done.
Moving on, the new Jacob's Creek ad.
I've got 495 online friends. I don't know where they are, but they're not in this room.
When you were dressing up as a woman.
Yeah.
That wine is really beautiful.
Jacob's Creek Reserve. Loved by the world's most important wine critic.
Really? Who?
Me.
I can say a few things about Dan's character.
My character?
We all know you too.
What do we think of the ad, Kathy?
Not sure that I would want to go to a party at our hero's house.
Dan, I believe his name is.
Right. Dan the man.
Dan, the world's most important wine critic himself.
Dan and his rented friends.
Yes, he's got some...
It was very rented friend, wasn't it? I mean, obviously it is contrived, but it shouldn't feel contrived as a viewer. Yeah.
Did you not feel like it was a warm, happy, middle-class
place? I like the idea. I actually liked the idea behind it, whoever came up with it, so the strategy, the thinking behind it. However, the actual, the creative itself in terms of the execution, it was like watching a Friends scenario, but without the wits and banter and chemistry and humour, basically. So.
I mean, I must wonder, I wondered if it's kind of improvised and then all cut together, you know, these people having a bit of banter around the table, you know, and it's just basically you greet people at door, you cut to the table, then there's a bit of, you know, hanging out in the kitchen.
I find it strange that, I don't know, it's a wine ad, but, you know, I haven't lived in Australia for 6 years yet, 6 years now, that there was no beer on the table. Because every party I've ever been to in Australia, there's beer somewhere. So the moment I saw only wine, I was like, oh...
You are familiar with the concept of advertising.
No, I know, I get that. But my point is, you could just throw out a bottle in the background that you couldn't actually make out or something to give a bit of realism. Plus, the guy himself, a bit of a tosser.
What's interesting about it is that although it sort of felt like a nice idea, certainly just a bunch of people getting together, and certainly works with the brand, just in what scenario is there only one spokesperson in an entire social group?
Yeah.
Like everyone spoke to Dan and Dan spoke to them. There was no sort of inter...
Yeah. The other thing was when he said, when he's made obviously it being trendy and topical, he said, my online friends and none of them are here. And I kind of went, well, shouldn't all these people be in your social network if they're your friends? I mean, that's just me, you know, I kind of figured if you're hanging about with them or do you just... Did you just ask them off the street randomly?
That's definitely, I think that's one thing that kind of bothered me just a little bit. Is that, okay, let's talk about something that's really hot right now, social media.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be really current. But I didn't buy it.
Sore thumb, that's what it stuck out like.
Mm. It did. So will it flog more units?
Probably. For the market they're probably going for, I think they'll go, oh, I need a bottle of Jacob's Creek.
Potentially, yeah. True character. I do like the true character line and positioning.
And
there's nothing wrong with the idea.
And this ad is going to go globally. Do we like the way it makes people think of Australia and Australians?
Larrikin culture, isn't it?
I think the accents are quite neutral anyway. Mm. I think so.
It's too neutral, but yes.
Yeah, I think that was something. The first thing I really noticed about it was the fact that it didn't feel like it was an Australian ad, which, you know, in a sense, if you're going to go global, is a good thing. But it also has a potential that people think, well, if that guy is a true character, not the wine, then I don't want to touch the wine.
Another ad to talk about. We had some hot vampire action. Smoking hot vampire action. Was that how you felt about it?
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Do you want to describe the ad?
Describe that.
If you call it an ad. A two-minute film.
Yeah, two-minute. Gratuitous piece for a woman in her underwear. A woman gets ready, goes out on a date. They're playing around in the cab. She says no. He follows her, which I found really wrong. I just want to stress this. You know, she said no, don't do it. Then he said no, come on. She said no again. She goes to the door. He sneaks out the cab, obviously pays the taxi driver, throws money at him, I guess. Runs in, you know, kisses in the back of the neck, and they go. Bit of this, bit of that, and then she leaps on him and bites him and drags his dead body into a cupboard with freezer with a bunch of other dead guys.
Happily smiling.
I noticed the smiling.
Yes, they were all smiling. They'd all have very happy smiles.
Well, I thought, wow, she still kept her underwear on. I figured she hadn't even begun, but.
You really have put an awful lot of time and effort into analysing this, haven't you?
Well, it's just the first thing I thought of. I just went, well, she kept all her underwear on, so they couldn't have done much, I'm guessing.
You are.
And yet the guy's smiling.
Based on your analysis of Jacob's Creek as well, you are Mr. Continuity, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Camille, any observations about the continuity or anything else?
No, not quite. I think you said it all, really. That's what I was thinking exactly.
But good idea for an ad. Do we think it will go viral?
It's just viral. I mean, it is just online.
Yeah, they're saying that if it goes well online, they might put it on
the
cinema.
Edit it quite a bit. Or the high-rated movies. Just cinema, you mean, not TV.
They said cinema.
I think the guys that read Zoom magazine will send it to our friends. Just like when I remember when Kylie Minogue did the Asian Provocateur advert with her riding a mechanical bull. everybody I knew sent that to every guy I know. I mean, every guy I knew had all seen it, you know.
Embedding it on the men's websites definitely would be a good idea. I mean, it would get the hits. I wanted to cover my screen. I was so embarrassed watching it in the office, to be honest with you. I was like, okay.
Also, the thing was, I had to ask Camille to watch as well, because I was trying. One of the things they had done was you have a sort of, you know, a screen grab at the start before you press play, in which initially it made it completely obvious that she was a vampire that sport the only twist of it. So I had to ask Camille to play the video without knowing that. So
I didn't think it was. I didn't. But yeah. I seem to be being a bit of a late bloomer with this whole Twilight thing. I've just recently watched the movie and starting to read the Moonlight book. So I didn't think it was a vampire inspired ad.
Kathy, will it go viral? How do you make an ad go viral? Is there a secret button?
Nothing goes viral. Videos have the potential to go virally.
I think, I mean, potentially yes, but I think it's a shame about the screen grab at the front. I suppose it's a nice switcheroo from the beginning, where the man obviously comes across as a kind of predatory figure with this slightly dubious.
I do agree.
I think woman says no. Woman says no.
That's right, kids. Yeah, so but I think it's interesting that he switched from being the predator to the prey. I guess that makes it more interesting. I wouldn't send it to my mates.
It's a bit, really. The thing, actually, when I watched it, the first thing I thought of was Basic Instinct, which is the same premise of, you know, the female's the predator in it. And I just kind of went, because when she leans back, it's a similar shot as well.
It's very derivative, definitely. Yeah.
And on that high level of detail, we leave it for this week. So my thank you to Kathy of the Tick 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 Project, to Camille and to Scott. Until next week, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.